as presented. I'll second.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded that we accept the minutes as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. All right, Billy, let's go to work.
All righty. Ooh, great store is laden, keeping up with everything.
Did you get a call last night from the Forest Service?
They never did call me.
Haven't this morning yet either?
No, I haven't heard nothing.
All right. Okay.
As soon as they do, we'll...
Yeah. Just to fill everybody in, go ahead, Mike.
Well, I think what they're looking for now is they're not sure where they're going to put their...
The camp?
The camp.
Okay.
Because at the Cliff Creek Fire, the smoke was coming from the Cliff Creek Fire into that, and so... Their camp was inundated with smoke, and they were breathing smoke the whole time.
Gotcha.
So I think they're looking for a place that's away from the downwind side of that fire. So I'm not sure where that is.
Okay. All right. Well, keep us posted.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll do whatever they need us to do.
Yeah.
I've been dealing with Eric and Mark and Mike. The Paradise... Where you just come on to the Paradise Road where it was washing, that might turn out to be a bigger deal than. There's a couple other spots that are really bad, so there's a chance that whole thing could slough.
Gotcha.
So they're going to have a different engineer come look at it. And so we're on it, but we're just seeing what it's going to take.
Where is that, Billy?
Right there when you turn onto the Paradise.
Just right as you go on. And
right. The worst spot is actually right across the guard. There's a spot where it just drops totally off, and there's only from the guardrail to where it's doing that's only 4 feet.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
And then where it is undermining the pavement, it looks like the bad one, but that one's not as bad as the one up there. But we're on it. We're just trying to figure out how.
Right.
It could be some, and you know, there's not really too many options there, so we're working on that.
And I think that guy from England Miller's coming up this week to meet with Aaron and go over it. He's a geotechnical engineer, so he might be able to have some better ideas on what we can do.
Chances of going back to the old approach.
Can I show you guys this is the map?
The worst spot's right there.
Oh, okay.
And here's where it's washed under the
undermining the road.
We're worried about that hole.
Gotcha.
So we're thinking about doing sheet piling and then stair stepping and stuff, but we just want to get better at people that have really done that stuff.
Okay.
It's awful steep right there.
Yes,
yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Other than that, I got the... Pressure's been down this week because we were doing MSHA training. We had to go to Green River and do that mandatory 3-day training. It's not a great spot right now, but it's safe. I mean, it's right there, bro, but it's bared off. You know, we got enough gravel around it. No flames are going to get to it.
Okay.
The only other problem with on the crushing side, I keep having Reed Odd was out doing his inspections. And probably, I don't know how to keep them from doing it, but they, on Deer Hill and Dry Basin, we built fences, we got log gates. They just tear down our fences and go and steal gravel.
Really?
That's the Dry Basin. Tear it down and go in, steal chips, steal. I don't know how to keep them from doing it.
How about a game camera?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we did set one up for like a couple. It's like, I think we'll just have to keep it down there for a long time.
Might have to set it and camouflage it and hide it.
That and Deer Hill, both of them.
Really?
Just rip the gates down, go up there.
Probably the same person.
I don't know.
How much are they taking? Tell.
Not a whole lot, but probably like this one here is trucks.
They're coming in with the dump truck.
Yeah, Dry Basin. Deer Hill, it's like on front end loaders, and I don't know, but they just wipe out the gates, the fences, and that. Then of course, you know, Reed's been good. He knows that, you know, we're trying to do the best we can. So, so that's what we got going there.
I wonder if perhaps we ought to touch bases with Sheriff Lear on this also.
Okay, I will.
Let's do that.
Jeez. Other than that, we some of the proposals.
Yep, Middle Ark, we had two proposals come in yesterday. Teletrackers and RS Bennett. We sent it out to...
I'm going to abstain from anything to do with this.
Well, you may have to vote because you know where I'm going. No, I'm just kidding.
You said you were... Yeah. We sent it out to HK and Lewis and Lewis as well, and they didn't give us any bids. So these are the two we had, and Teletrackers came in low bid at $1,471,925.10.
That includes the paving and the whole project.
Yep, the whole thing.
Everything, all striping, everything. Yep. Okay, good deal. Okay, well, that looks pretty simple to me, gentlemen.
Yep.
I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move we accept the low bid of Teletrackers in the amount of $1,471,925.10.
I'll second
the Meadowlark project.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept the bid from Teletrackers for the paving of Meadowlark Lane in the amount of $1,471,925, and don't forget the 10 cents.
Yep.
Further discussion. Skyler?
Did you guys do an engineer's estimate on that?
Yeah, we were about 1.8.
Okay.
Okay, good. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 4 with 1 abstention.
Oh. What's your time frame looking like?
We're going to start. We're going to do the culvert work and the crossings that we're putting in this fall. And they can do some shoulder work, and then next spring leave the road in as good a shape as we can, so it'll hold up all winter, and then next spring. So it's just shoulder work, and then the crossings this year.
I was just wanting them to get the crossings in, so we wouldn't have, you know, if they did it next spring, and then we paved, you know, we might have some.
They'd give them a season to settle.
And this way they'll all have time to settle.
Gotcha. Okay. Do we know the solution on the stuff that has to go under the road?
Yeah,
I think we're... Yep. They're going to coordinate with Jorgensen Engineering to do that, and that's part of the stuff that'll be done this fall.
Okay, good.
And we are putting some extra, you know, crossings in and stuff, because we've been very vocal. They're all aware that once it's paved, they ain't digging across it. So they know.
That's what you meant by crossings, I would say.
Yeah.
Side roads.
Yeah, water line crossings, there's some conduits, and then there's a couple gas line crossings.
Yeah, okay, good.
We'll get them all in this fall, so we don't have no settle. Only other thing I got for road and bridge, I looked over at Highway Federal.
I have it.
You got that, okay. Mm-hmm. And I looked, me and Mike went over, there was a couple things I was kind of, you know, didn't like but Mike explained it to me, so I'm good with that.
Okay. This is phase 2?
Uh-uh.
No, this is what?
This is the easement to the road.
Oh, this is
phase, yeah.
Okay, good deal.
So, Mr. Chairman, we received, or I received, the highway easement from Central Federal Lands for the board to consider for the first phase of Skyline Drive.
Yeah.
This has been reviewed by Mike. It's been reviewed by Billy. Been reviewed by Matt Gaffney. So everybody said it's good to go. So it's ready for you to sign, sir.
Okay.
And they've signed the deed to us. This is just the acceptance of the deed.
Of the deed.
Right.
We've already voted on all this.
Yeah.
All I need to do is sign it, right?
Right there.
It's interesting that that comes from federal highways and not tourist fields.
Or who knows? Yeah, because the person that signs for them is from the federal, or the Federal Highway Administration. Hmm. His name is Curtis Scott, Acting Division Director. So,
okay.
But yeah, we have everything. So what will happen next is we'll sign on the county clerk, please return, and then we'll record it. And then send it. So, yeah.
It's okay. Ours.
Yeah, it's ours.
Yay.
More road.
How exciting.
Anything else, Billy?
That's about all I got for Road and Bridge.
Okay. Did anybody have any comments on Road and Bridge? Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Just the water district. We're well aware of the paving project, and we understand you're going to be laying asphalt on May 31st, so our plan is to get everything done and out of the way by May 31st.
Perfect. Okay, good. All right, well, let's move into waste management then.
All right.
Skyler, did you have any?
I did.
Well, I did ask.
You did.
I did, okay. All right.
Let me know, sir.
All right.
We're doing, this week, we're getting a new pump installed for the fire in the Dale building. Other than that, everything down there at this end's going good. Larry sent me an email about accepting, you know, dead animals and stuff, and Eric, I talked to him, and he talked to David Reed, and, you know, they advise us not to take them. It's kind of a hot topic right now.
Yeah. Are we talking just wildlife, or are you talking any dead animal?
Well,
we can keep what we're doing because we're permitted for it. But gotcha. If we start taking more than the DEQ, since it's on
you, I see what you're saying.
The DEQ might come down on us too.
Okay.
They're asking us, you know, to.
That's good because we didn't have any interest in doing that.
No. So what's bad about it is everything I've read, I mean, Lincoln County won't take any.
Right.
Everyone around us ain't taking them. If we do take them and, you know, a bird dies or whatever and you get the chronic disease or whatever, I mean, that pretty much shuts down your pit, you know, your line. And, I mean, that could go into a lot of stuff. So, did address that. They did stop the transfer station from burning. We've had a couple close calls, grass catching on fire, so I'm just having them pile that up. May have to haul, you know, if it starts getting, it's still coming in like crazy, but might have to haul some down here. But
is this a C&D waste?
Yeah. Okay. It's just, there's so much grass and the sagebrush is
so dry right now.
And we've had a couple little fires, so I just stopped burning up there.
Good call.
Other than that, I did on some of the, I do got some of the equipment, new equipment that we budgeted for waste management. I got some pricing on that. The first one is, would be the loader that we're replacing, the Bell House loader. And it, Wyoming Machinery and Caterpillar came in the cheapest. My estimated, what we budgeted for, I got some really good pricing. Their equipment's actually coming in really good. We were $27,942.59 cheaper than what I budgeted for. And that includes, you know, full warranties, bumper to bumper, field service, mileage, everything for 84 months, 7,500 hours. The buyback, 70,000 within that 84 months. They gave us $38,500 trade. And that loader, you know, has got 8,000 hours on it. It's been used. So I was estimated when I had it appraised for it was $30,000. So it everything looks good.
They would give us $70,000 buyback at the end. Is that the deal? Yeah.
Buyback, like in that 84 months, at any time we can tell them to come get it, and they'll just cut us a check for $70,000. Okay. And you know, trade it. If we keep it, we'll get more than that.
Yeah.
You know, it'll probably be about, they're pretty good on the buybacks. At the end of 84 months, it'll be worth right about that. So it's the buyback, what I like about the buyback is it's, if, you know, at any time, I mean, if you decided, whatever, you know, there's no questions asked. In that 84 months, they'll just give you a check for $70,000.
Okay.
You know, and if the market fell out of used equipment, you know, sometimes you could do fine.
Commissioner,
we've utilized the buyback twice since I've been here on a couple motor graders that were really costing us a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Go ahead, Commissioner Noel.
Is this the loader that we just put the tires on, the foam-filled tires, or is that?
Yeah, but we're keeping them.
Okay.
That's
all I wanted to hear.
No, it's we're already doing a swap, and we kept the old ones, so the old ones are going back on the one we're getting rid of. So that's all.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So the new tires we'll keep. Good, so yeah. I budgeted this one without new tires.
Are you ready to move forward with the purchase of this one then, Billy?
Yes.
Okay, I'll need a motion.
Make a motion. We move forward with the bid from Wyoming Machinery on the 930M loader for 164, $5741.
Second. It has been moved and seconded that we approve the bid from Caterpillar for the 930M loader in the amount of $164,057.41. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
The other piece of equipment is the little excavator that we budgeted for. And it did come under budget, what I budgeted for, by
$6,386.81. This is one with the magnets on it.
No, we got the big one with the magnet. This is the one that we're gonna use in the bale house to sort. And
you've got a thumb on it then?
It's got a thumb, yeah. Everything, it's got a grapple.
It's got a small track hole.
Yeah.
What was happening is they were, before I started up there, they were hand sorting that stuff, and it was a mess. I mean, it was, and I was so worried. And they, you know, they were going to the doctors weekly because they had all the sinus infections and everything. And you know, if the bed spring, you know, they're all in there, and we sort the metal, you know, we pull it out. If a bed spring hits you and cuts you, I mean, you can be dead.
Yeah,
I mean it's not. They shouldn't be getting all the needles and stuff there.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need to be crawling around in there. So this will solve that. And we'll use it for a lot of stuff. We'll sort all our stuff, our metal, and then it's just going to save the baler because they still were missing a lot of it because they couldn't get, you know.
Yep.
And we'll use it in C&D to pull the metal out of that and everything else.
You have a big magnet on it.
Our big one does. And we kind of keep it up at the MSW pit, and then we rotate it back and forth to the C&D and that, and pull all the metal out because the construction stuff is metal. So we're pulling that and all the piping and all that, all the plastic pipe with that. And this will mainly just be, they try to use, right now we're using the big one in there, but it's too big for that building, and they've already, you know, they've hit a couple lights and stuff like that. So this will be more, and it'll be better because they can get in there and load the belt and stuff. So it's I think a really important piece of equipment that we need.
Go ahead, Commissioner. I'm
sorry, but when we budgeted for this, you were bailing everything, and now you're not.
No, we still no. We're doing both. What we're doing now is we don't bail near as much.
Right.
Near as much. What we do is we're doing our slopes with the bales to utilize it because we got it there. So we build our 3-to-1 slopes, and then we do loose fill in the middle. So we're not baling near as much. We only bail like every 3 weeks. And then we'll bail like 150 bales, and then we do our slope with them, and then we do the loose fill on the middle, just so we can get, you know, the bales work great for making your 3-to-1 slopes, mm-hmm. but they settle. So our loose fill, we're compacting that. You know, we're getting 88% more compaction with our compact, with that new compactor, which what that means is we're not using near the fill dirt. So we've cut back on our field dirt by 60-70%. So we got the best of both worlds right now, mm-hmm. because we're using the bales to make our slopes, which, you know, you're going to have your slopes anyway. So if they settle, you know, it doesn't really matter. Where we were getting the sag in the middle, and we're getting water, and that's what you don't want. DEQ don't want water and stuff like that. Now we're keeping our dome. Everything, so it's you know, we got the best of both worlds.
Very good. All right.
So Wyoming Machinery was the cheapest one.
Go ahead,
Commissioner. Just well, maybe we're gonna get through with this. It's something he said earlier. I'll go back to. So we need a motion.
Yeah, we'll need a motion to accept.
I make the motion that we accept the bid from Caterpillar for the 308 excavator in the amount of $114,113.19.
I'll second, Mr. Chairman.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept the bid from Caterpillar for the 308 excavator in the amount of $114,113.19. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Anything else?
Yeah, the question I had goes back to the first part of your report, Billy, and that was with taking on more animals. Where did that, who broached that subject? How did that come up?
Teton County.
I mean, they had done that previously. That's what
well,
I asked.
Yeah, but they're having such an issue with CWD
out
there that they're wanting to get rid of the carcasses.
Yeah, we had, I think Joel had talked to the chairman up there before because they had made a request. They're still doing it.
They're having a heck of a time trying to find any place that'll take them. And what's going to happen is they're going to have to go to an incinerator somewhere.
Right, and they need to build their own incinerator.
They may have to, yeah.
And I believe there is an incinerator on the refuge.
Oh, is there?
Sure. Yeah, but they won't take them either. No.
They don't want anybody else's CWD.
No. I just wondered if that was, because we had addressed that a couple of months ago. It was the same
issue. It keeps coming up.
Yeah.
They keep looking.
And now they're going to have a special meeting with Game and Fish and get everybody to try to come back.
And I think that's going to happen at the
Waco.
At Waco.
Yeah, it is. They're going to have a meeting there.
And then, or are they?
Yeah. I saw the correspondence, and they're going to have.
What committee are they
that
get?
I'm not sure which committee that was in. But
well, that would certainly would increase our jeopardy for CWD if we took those.
Oh, gee whiz, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So listening to this conversation, if I'm going to that meeting, it gives me guidance to say no.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, you definitely have our blessing. Tell them we'll lose our permit.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. And Eric talked with David, and yeah, he was like very strong against.
Yep. He said it's just a hot issue, and it's going to go all the way to the top to sort out what to do and the best things.
So where does Game and Fish come into this? You know.
That's the same thing. He said he. Because it's in our permit, and there's no limit on it. But he says if we start, then the DEQ can... Because we looked at doing a dead animal pit just on the south end of the property. But they had these rules where you can only bury, like, the equivalent of a cow per acre or so. It was something weird, and it was just like, well, this isn't going to work because it's less efficient than...
Put it in the pit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's crazy.
So hopefully they'll come up with an answer. We can get some guidance for the future. But definitely tell the line sale. I think we got to steer clear of it.
Yeah, but we are able to deal with our own.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
You have problems with contamination. So I guess the two ways we approach that is taking lessen our risk by not taking contaminated animals, and then what you've already done in terms of trying to keep the crows at bay.
Yes.
Because those are the primary culprits in terms of spreading that prion.
Right now, what we're doing is when they come in, we bury them. We cover them immediately. I mean, as soon as they...
Is that any animal or just...
No, we do any animal.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
do you bury them right away?
Right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good call. Just better to be safe.
Yeah. That's what I think. Other than that, that's all I have.
That's it on waste management?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for your help. Thanks, we appreciate that. You know, keep us posted on how you'd like to proceed as far as your new job that's going to be coming up.
Okay. Yeah. Right now I'm just doing is just carrying on.
Okay. Excellent.
Good call.
Okay, thanks.
You bet.
Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Sheriff, glad you showed up early. Let's take you early.
So I saw the agenda, and I figured it was going to be a quick morning.
So. I think you got lots to do, so let's get you out of here.
Sounds good. And I don't even know where to start.
Oh, man, it's been kidding.
Busy last couple of weeks. I mean, I'll just open it up if you have questions. You know,
so my question simply for you is, I think I know the answer, but the evacuations and such. So the Forest Service declares that we're going to have an evacuation, and then that they turn it over to you and you spread the word. You can't enforce that in any way. Is that right?
So correct. So what we've been doing, so the Forest Service really hasn't taken over yet. They're supposed to take over at 6 o'clock this morning with their Type 2 team.
Okay.
So we've had our local fire. So Paul Hutt has been our IC
now. Okay.
And
Paul's the one that pulled the trigger on the evacuation.
Yep. And so we had certain trigger points. Yep. And so our trigger point for both the Rolling Thunder and the Hoback Ranches was that Grizzly Bear Creek drainage.
Gotcha.
Yesterday, about 2:30, 3 o'clock, the wind shifted, and it pushed the fire right past that point.
Wow.
And it was going fast.
Wow.
And so Paul said, you know, I think we need to start the evacuation. So you're correct in what you're saying. I mean, we can ask people to leave. We cannot force people to leave.
Okay.
If they want to stay with their homes and residences, you know, they can do so. Now we do have a caveat if they're elderly, if there's minor children or handicapable, remove them or ask them to leave.
Okay.
As far as I know, that's never happened. That's right. Never been an issue. There's the entire evacuation of the upper Hoback Road from pretty much the White Buffalo Ranch, which is Ricketts, all the way past the Deadshot Ranch to the trailhead. Only one family decided to stay, and the same with the Rolling Thunder. There was one family that said, you know what, we survived the last fire.
Keep an eye on
it. We'll survive this one, and we'll just keep an eye on it. And we're fine with that. So, but we definitely, you know, we'll document. Okay, you know, how many are in your residence, you know, just in case something were to happen, we can account for everybody.
Okay.
So. But with that as well, if we do ask them to leave and they leave, we can prevent them from coming back in.
Oh,
so
interesting.
Once they leave, we can keep them from going back. Close the road you cannot go back in.
Gotcha.
So
interesting.
Yeah. There's some rules.
Yeah.
So.
Is there any real danger of the folks that decided to stay?
There's always that danger.
Right.
I mean, you're taking a chance.
Sure.
Definitely. But I mean, it's like I said. I mean,
free country.
It is absolutely, and that's their choice.
Excellent. Any questions for the sheriff, gentlemen?
Any update on number of acres?
So the last I heard, and Chad is on his way. I heard him leave the Roosevelt Fire IC this morning. So Martin Fire, which is up here in the Pineys, 8,000 acres. Roosevelt Fire, which is up in the Hoback, 5,000 acres. This was the USDA news release. This was actually yesterday evening, probably about 5 o'clock is when this came out. So I'm sure it's increased since then. We're looking at sustained 15 to 20 mile an hour winds all day today and tomorrow, southwesterly. So that's definitely going to have an impact. But they are supposed to have a type 3 on the Martin Fire and a type 2 starting on the Roosevelt Fire this morning.
Yeah, that was the information I got at 6:30 last night, I think. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and like I said, Shad will probably have some updated information on the Roosevelt Fire. Right now, Hoback Ranches is just still in a implemented the California Ready, Set, Go.
Yeah.
Ready being, have a plan. Set, I mean, you need to have yourself packed. Go, you need to leave.
Gotcha.
So, hopefully with that, if the sustained winds are like they are, it'll push that Roosevelt Fire to the north of the Hoback Ranches. However, that's gonna put the upper Hoback and Bondurant at risk. It's gonna push it right through there. However, from a defendable standpoint, I think that's a lot more defendable than the Hoback Ranches is right now.
Boy,
just because of the trees, the deadfall, access.
If that gets down into Hoback Ranches, holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. As far as no residential structures, we did lose a couple of outfitter camps.
Okay.
They weren't able to get back in to, get those down and out. The two gentlemen were burned significantly coming out of the Roosevelt Fire. They were sent to the Salt Lake City Burn Center unit.
They hunters?
Hunters, yep, hunters.
Boy, they're lucky.
They were very lucky. They got trapped in the canyon coming out and didn't have an escape. Sounded like they hit the water
found
as best
the water.
As they could.
Yeah.
But still, significant burns.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Man.
And it's very ominous, evacuating the Rolling Thunder and the Hoback Ranches last night. I mean, I guarantee those people at Hoback Ranches didn't sleep a wink last night because it was right at their back door. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Commissioner Werner.
What is the Forest Service criteria on fire bans, and is there any anticipation or discussion that they might proceed with having fire bans on the forest?
Yes. So I think that's one of the things Chad is going to talk about with you this morning. So, yeah, that was discussed yesterday morning at our briefing, or yesterday afternoon at our briefing at the local level. So, yeah.
Any? Do they know the cause yet?
They do not know the cause of the Roosevelt or the Martin Fire. That's being investigated at this time. The third fire that started up there, Cliff Creek, I'm trying to think of the peak up there. Ramshorn Peak, that was an unattended campfire.
Mm.
However, that has been put out and contained.
Good.
So.
Okay. Well, we'll ask Shad any further questions, and then we'll discuss your meeting yesterday.
Sure.
So where's the best place to get the information?
So right now it's the sheriff's office.
Are you guys putting information? Because I was watching Facebook last night, and of course you know how that is.
Right.
So it's like, oh yeah, we're evacuating. No, we're not. Da, 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 da. But if you follow the sheriff's office.
Yeah, the sheriff's office emergency management page right now.
Okay.
The Forest Service is still
they're usually
shorthanded.
Yeah, they're usually behind on information.
Yeah, and they are they're having to cover both fires, and so we're trying to assist their PIO as much as we can, just to to keep her up, because we actually have better intel than they do right now, just because it took so long to get the type 2 and 3 teams here.
Right.
So, and just, I mean, And no fault on there. I mean, they're spread thin. Last night when Mac was there, this is like what, their 12th deployment for this team.
Yeah.
This year.
What was amazing was that was one of the things that they stressed was they would be the information people once they got set.
Right.
You guys are the information people. But going to what you said, Facebook is the information. Nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And I tried to explain it last night, and it didn't go over well. Mm-hmm. That you can't believe what some lady put on there.
Right.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happens.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, lessons learned from the Cliff Creek fire. I think, you know, I've been, you know, the local, you know, Shad, myself, BLM Forest Service at the local level have been really good at sending out the same message. So as far as that goes, as far as the evacuations, other than the mix-up with the Weather Service who put out the Hoback Ranches, which was, we had to call fast and say, no, we're not evacuating the Hoback Ranches. But for the most part, everything's been consistent, concise, and good information. So. Yeah, so that's a positive. Again, something we learned from the Cliff Creek fire.
Yeah.
And then once their PIOs get here, we'll tie in right with them, whether we have a unified command or not. We'll still, you know, we'll wait to release information or share their information once it's released, so it's all the same and accurate.
Okay.
Well, and the Forest Service sends their news releases every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get those.
Yeah.
And right, I think you guys all get them as well.
Yep.
If you should be.
I may have.
Okay. Because I think they notice everybody.
Yep.
And I post those at the courthouse.
Okay.
But trying to, you know, without bothering people.
Right.
To get, you know, just to know where the spot is. But you guys, with Travis, are putting out information, and that's. Right.
The most difficult thing for us was the closures, you know, forest closures. We did not receive any information until late yesterday afternoon on actually, okay, what are you closing? So, because at first, that first evening, it was Hoback all the way to Middle Piney. We're closing the entire forest. And then, of course, then that, you know, well, we're going to go back and now we're going to open these certain areas. And, that makes it difficult.
Yeah. Any searches or rescues lately?
So our helicopter has been in the air the last week more than it has been on the ground.
Right.
It really has.
I've seen it in the air a lot.
We started out last week with the hunter up South Piney. Fell off the, had a horse wreck up there. Because of the high winds, the helicopter couldn't get to him to short haul him. So he dropped our two personnel wheeled litter, and then we sent in just over a dozen deputies and search and rescue members to hike in to get him, and then we brought him out on the wheeled litter to medical services.
Wow.
He ended up being fine, no major issues, just bumps and bruises, no broken bones or anything. But
good.
Yeah, so assisted Park County again Friday. Again, injured horseback rider. I don't know if he was a hunter or not, but medship could not get to him, so they called on our short haul team to short haul him to the medship. And then right after, we didn't even get done with that, and they had the bear mauling in Teton County. They requested our assistance, so our helicopter and team members went up there. We ended up spending the night, and then that following Sunday morning, we assisted Game and Fish in getting their guys in, getting the snare set, euthanizing the two bears, and then bringing everybody out.
Hmm.
And then, shoot, he barely got back to the landing pad. And then we got a request to rescue 18 stranded, you know, trapped people up in the Roosevelt fire. We ended up getting two of them.
Okay.
So, and then also Lincoln County had two people trapped on their side, and we were kind of on standby, just waiting for their request to go get them. It ended up being a Forest Service helicopter ended up pulling those two out.
Hmm.
So, and then today we are up in the Hoback Junction assisting YDOT with some equipment to get into some remote areas.
I'll be darned.
So,
well, yeah. Use the heck out of it, all right?
Well, yeah, so we've got several days paid for.
Good. Good, glad to hear it.
Yeah.
All right, anything further for the sheriff, gentlemen? Okay, thank you, Sheriff.
Sure, thanks, Casey.
Yeah,
thanks,
Casey.
Yep, stay safe out there.
Yeah, sounds good. Nope, community's been great. Similar to Cliff Creek, you know, when we evacuate people, one of our criteria is we have to provide a place for them to go. If they're, if they're displaced, we have to provide housing, you know, shelter, food, water. And so we called upon a Red Cross again. But I mean, we've had dispatch has a list of people calling in. Hey, I have 10 acres. You can park your camper here. You know, we'll take livestock, horses. We have an extra guest house. I mean,
cool.
It's the same. I mean, Sublette County pulls together, and right now nobody's requested housing assistance. So
who leads Red Cross now?
So Red Cross is Trudy.
Trudy Fry.
Trudy Fry.
Okay.
Yes, she took over Mel's.
Mel's place. Yeah. Okay.
Or Mo. Sorry, not Mel. Mo.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I spoke with Jay this morning, and he said that if anybody needs livestock, they can do it at the fairgrounds. And if they need to stay with their livestock, they will make accommodations at the fairgrounds.
Okay.
So he was
terrific.
Waiting for somebody to show up.
And that's in Mike Vickery was the same way with the Pinedale Rodeo Grounds. So, but yeah, no, we haven't had any takers yet. Good. So we'll see as this progresses. So
terrific. All right. Well, thank you, Sheriff.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Mary, have you got some business for us?
I do.
Yeah, let's do your business.
I talked to Skyler, so I will get with Billy and about the gravel pits.
Yeah, if they need a place to stay or if they're going to go somewhere.
Oh, no. I'm talking about Billy was
the
talking
gates.
About some break-ins and some of our
pits and gravel pits.
Okay, gotcha.
We'll put some game cameras up or something.
Awesome, thank you.
Pole cams, yeah.
We'd like to find out who that is.
Yeah, I think we all have an idea, but
I can get with Billy. Has it been recent, or has this been going on for a while?
Ongoing, but also a recent event.
Okay, all right, I'll get with him and get the particulars. So, all right. Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
See you, Sheriff.
So, just a little correspondence stuff to back up to the discussion about the animals and the disposal of them. You had gotten an email from Teton County that they were sending to their neighbors as well as the Game and Fish and Wyandotte and everybody else that tripped that. There was another letter that was sent directly to Scott Talbot, the director. Teton County, they must have a new PIO or something because they're sending stuff like crazy. They also had sent a letter about the their WPLI advisory committee to you guys. I have hard copies as well. You've got all this stuff electronically. I didn't send it to you again.
I read them all.
Yeah, so you've got all of that.
I don't need a hard copy.
No,
man. If you do, got one. If you don't, we'll go without. You had also received a letter from the Department of Interior, the BLM, concerning proposed water wells for livestock and wildlife use in the, looks like the Stud Horse Common grazing allotment. And I don't know if you're interested in reading that. You might want to look at that. That's down in your neck. You got that?
Okay. It's on my allotment.
Does anybody care? Nobody cares. Is kind of what I thought.
We're hoping to get some wells drilled. Finally got them around to doing it anyway.
Yeah.
After about 5 years of working on it.
So some things to sign. We have worked for a while to. We've never had a lease with Safe for their office building and their safe house, which is property that the county owns, and Matt has been working with that board to put together a lease that would be, let's see, I don't know how long we decided on. Oh, till through December of 2027. So, yeah, like a 10-year deal.
Okay.
Anyway, 10-year lease with them. As I said, this lease was negotiated. Matt negotiated it with the board and their attorney was safe. Matt's good. Everything's fine. We have all the things in there that he wants. So if you'd like to entertain that lease for that.
Anybody want to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the lease between Sublette County and the Sublette County Sexual Assault and Family Violence Task Force.
Second.
Has been moved and seconded that we enter into a lease agreement with between Sublette County and Safe Tax Task Force as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Then I'm going to pass down a resolution. You guys have already adopted this at your last meeting. This was the Clarine Minor subdivision that we did to accommodate their Forest Service lease. So, yeah, you adopted it. You just need to sign it so I can record it. Next thing that I have is we have a memorandum of understanding between the state of Wyoming Guardian Ad Litem program with Sublette County. This program is administered and taken care of through the Clerk of District Court's office. It's been reviewed by the county attorney's office and it comes to us from the state with the Attorney General's approval on the contract. We get a little bit of money through this program.
And it's a contract between us and who?
State of Wyoming, Guardian Ad Litem,
right.
Division of the Public Defender.
Same as always.
Yeah.
Yep, same as always.
Who is the county guardian ad litem? Do we have somebody that?
I don't know. I think they change. They vary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oops. Mr. Chairman, do we need a motion on this?
Yeah.
I move that the memorandum of understanding between the state of Wyoming and the Guardian Ad Litem program, a division of the Office of State Defender and Sublette County. I move we accept this.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept the MOU between the state of Wyoming Guardian Ad Litem program and the county as presented. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Next document that I have is from the University of Wyoming for the annual compensation agreement between the University of Wyoming Extension and Sublette County. This would be for the 4-H Youth Development Program. The new person that will be hired, that has been hired there, his name is Stephen Harrison. The university contributes $59,711. Our four payments, let's see, payment in return will be, the county will contribute $32,808 in four payments over the next, during the fiscal year. This agreement is in effect as of July 1. This is standard for what we've had before, but do remember that this amount is greater than what has been in the past by a little bit.
Increased by $6,000.
So
this is the contract for Steve.
Yeah.
Harrison.
Remind me why that increased a little bit.
Where he was coming from, he was going to take a pay cut.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this was kind of a negotiation.
Yeah.
And the state was willing to split it with
us. So 30 years or 20 years of experience?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, do we need a motion for this?
Yes.
Means that I seem
yes,
to be
please.
Getting stuck.
You're going to get a bunch of them today. That's
you're the
awesome.
Guy.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we accept the annual compensation agreement between Sublette County and the University of Wyoming for Stephen Harris.
Harrison.
Yeah.
Second. Has been moved and seconded that we agree to the compensation agreement with the University of Wyoming Extension Office for the contract with Stephen Harrison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
The next one you don't have to vote on.
Yeah.
Because you already did. This is the lease agreement between the county and the Rural Health Care District for the four-month lease that you negotiated last meeting.
Cool.
So I just need you to sign, Andy.
You betcha.
And they vote on it tomorrow night.
Couple other things. I have just received from Pinedale High School their information request concerning our upcoming scholarships, which we'll award next spring. But if we have any changes in our scholarship thing, our whole scholarship program, what they're doing right now is they're putting together their information
packets
to give out to the kids.
Okay.
And that those things go out here probably before Christmas, I would imagine. My deadline for this back to them is November 6th. So you got a little time if you want to think about it, or if you want to just say it's okay today. They just want to know if we have any changes in our requirements, and let me read what they know. Number of awards varies.
It's going to vary.
The amount, $2,000 a semester. Our deadline is the 14th of February of 2019 for applications. They're selected by the commissioners. When they're awarded after enrollment's been verified, and they're awarded by the agency as opposed to they're distributed by the agency as opposed to the school distributing the scholarship. The criteria, letter of application, including what institution of higher education the student plans to attend, current transcript, ACT scores, three letters of reference, only one from an educator, and no letters from relatives. This scholarship may be used at a Wyoming institution or an out-of-state institution.
You know, at this point, all that stuff stays in place. I don't know. There may be some
I just think that
changes.
Some of the stuff needs to be in bigger bold type.
Yeah.
Points of emphasis that we ran into a couple problems this year.
But let me tell you what, this year as compared to last year, a couple of things that have changed is remember we had them sign they signed a contract.
Mm-hmm.
They signed an agreement with us, and they were very, they did that. These guys, there were 10 of them, and I had them all. And they provided the information that I needed, and I had everything in order when it was time for me to go. One of the things that I did do this year, well, and thinking about since election fell about the time that school started and all that stuff, I sent those checks earlier than I have in the past. to the colleges. And that seemed, I had time to do, I mean, it was kind of like I had time to do it. I got them out of there. It's amazing that every kid has got one of these phones in their hands and they're doing that all the time. But it's amazing how long it takes them to respond to something until it's absolutely time or it's, and I had one kid that didn't tell me that they were going to a different school. So I had to, you know, do some jockeying around here recently, but it's not been at all like it's been in the past. It's much better. So the improvements that we have made, I think them signing that contract is a big deal.
I think that's good.
Because that gives me the information that I need. I have their student ID number. I have all the stuff that I need on that piece of paper that they send to me when we notify them that they've received the scholarship. Where before it's been kind of this, you know, I go off of what they give me, but it's kind of this floating in the wind deal. So that's been really helpful. The older kids, you know, the continuing, the recipients, they're awesome. They get it, you know, and they also understand that if they don't meet the deadline or if they don't do whatever, they're done, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was easier this year. I do have a request to dovetail on this. You can think about this for a minute, but wanted to talk about, I had one kid that is, he just completed his junior year in college and he did not reapply. I don't know why he didn't reapply, but now he's come back and said, geez, would the commissioner support me spring semester? I'm under the impression that maybe he didn't go to school this fall, but I'm not sure. I asked him for more information. When I get more information, I'll talk to you about that. But I don't know. It's a little easier if they come and say, geez, I'm not going to go to school this next year. What do you think? As opposed to say, geez, you know, wow, can I get back in, you know, kind of thing. Because we've budgeted already for, you know.
Yeah. The only problem with that is we budget for however many we've got, and we don't budget again until the next year.
Well, and that's the thing. It isn't like we've got a pot of money that we're spending out of and we got some money in there. Everything that is in that budget line item is committed.
We just put in that what is committed.
Just what's needed.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we know what you're doing when we do budget. So it takes X number of dollars, you know, to pay for those scholarships. It isn't like I've got, you know, some slush money or that I budget out $16,000 for each kid it doesn't work like that. I budgeted every year.
Yeah, we had an issue with that with the student before, and we basically let them know that they had to wait till the next budget session.
And that's basically the precedent that you have in place.
That's what we've
done. Is that you'd have to reapply next year.
Reapply in next budget
session. So anyway, once I hear some more from this, I'll bring it back to you to make a decision on it. And I don't have that information. He just contacted me last week.
Yeah, you know, and they're all worthy causes, but this is part of adulting.
Yes, and it's nice to be flexible, but it's also, you don't want to be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you have some flexibility when you make the awards, you know, at that point in time to
decide. Well, when we're setting the budget.
Yeah, because we're setting the budget as well, you know, so.
But once that budget's set, it takes a budget transfer.
Yeah.
So, okay, anything else?
Well, hang on a second here.
Maybe.
I have a text from Jim Mitchell.
Go ahead, Tom.
If you want to entertain the idea, I just sent that letter from Joanne. Forwarded to you guys.
Oh,
I asked her if she would be interested in writing a letter on behalf of the county that we could submit for that action item.
Okay.
And she said she would be honored to, and if you want to entertain the idea, she said she'd take a call between Shad,
Shad's supposed to be
to explain.
Shad's either here or he's supposed to be calling in.
Okay. So
I don't, but that's...
It's 10 o'clock. We better just take a quick break, and maybe we can do that if Shad's not.
Thoughts, whatever.
Yeah. We can go into some old business and do that. But let's take a five-minute break. We'll see if Shad either calls or shows up. If he doesn't, we know he's busy.
Do you want to think about scholarships? I can bring this back to you next time.
Yeah, so... I like what's there right now. I mean that's not going to change. If anything's going to change, there's going to be things added to it.
Or it goes back to the number, too. Are we going to stay with the numbers that we have?
Well, and that we really don't know right now.
You guys decide that when you see what you got in for applications.
Sure.
You know, because we've got a reduction overall from what we've done in the past.
Yeah.
Because we've graduated some of those kids off. Some of the kids didn't make grades. So we've got, you know, we've been running right at 30, but we're less than that this year just because of the way that's all playing. But you guys, again, you could make the choice in the spring to give 1, 2, 3, 6, 10 scholarships.
In the way we've done that in the past, we've kind of seen where we're at spring, what our financial outlook looks like. And make that decision, but I think staying with the same amount we have right now is probably fine
for now.
Not a problem
for now,
for now.
And then, but that could change.
Well, we aren't changing any criteria. That's basically what they're.
I think we went through that, and we got.
I think criteria is good. But that's all they're worried about.
It's ever been.
Oh boy, that's a fact. This has been a learning process.
Unfortunately, I understand Commissioner Rehauser's comment and concern about bold print and quotation marks and red flags and whatever, but I guess that's a learning process.
It's called responsibility.
Yeah.
And reading comprehension.
And maybe
it's adulting.
The bold print needs to go to the counselors for them to say, okay, I'm going to go through this and I'm going to look at this before you send it away to help them. Because once it gets to us, can't go back.
I think the counselors are good. My biggest, and the kids are pretty good. It's mama that's the problem.
Well, but that's, you know, I'm out of that business. So I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah, it's the relatives that are the problem.
Not even
the kids are okay.
There.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we
kids have been okay from the beginning of time.
We sat across the desk from a father that come in. And,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, quick break.